Hi, and welcome to the Highbury Hangout podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be chatting all about Arsenal's win over WSL rivals Chelsea. It all went down in front of a WSL record crowd of 59,042 fans, in which Arsenal thrashed Chelsea 4-1 to absolutely shake up the title race, making the two London teams level on 22 points, with only goal difference now separating the two sides. Arsenal boss Yunus Eidevelt made two changes to the side that beat West Ham 3-0 before the international break. Captain Kim Little and her midfield partner Leah Valti returned, which is great to see. Emma Hayes also made two changes, bringing in Nuskin and Jesse Fleming. Sam Kerr was also able to spot, despite missing the Matildas international action in Canada, of which five Arsenal players were involved on either side. Interestingly, especially for Lionesses fans, Millie Bright is still out with that knee injury. So Arsenal looked strong from the start, pressing high. It was a stunning high press up the pitch, and we're just 8 minutes in and a stunning counter-attack by Arsenal's Caitlin Ford, running free on the left, and she then was outside and clipped the ball towards Little. From here, Victoria Pilova got the ball and got it to Beth Mead, who scored in front of a raucous Arsenal crowd. Now, Arsenal were definitely dominant, but the press was so high that Chelsea were able to actually find the gap, allowing them to score. Now, the only thing I would say about this goal, though, is potentially Sam Kerr, who was in, I believe, an offside position from what I see anyway, was definitely blocking, obstructing the view of Manu Zinsberger. But ultimately, I think we would expect better of her, and she would definitely expect better of herself in that one. So, following this, Chelsea then had a bit of a spell, to be honest, and I think a few people were thinking, oh God, here we go, they're coming back. However, Arsenal had it covered with two goals in just a few minutes, which really put the game to bed. It really quieted down the Chelsea fans as well. A classic Amanda Ilestet header, which we got all very used to in the World Cup from her, followed by a Russo goal that Thierry Henry himself would have been proud to have scored at the Emirates. And actually, I wasn't the only one who thought it looked a bit like a Thierry Henry special, because after the game, Alessio Russo was speaking to members of the press, and they also mentioned that it looked like a Thierry Henry special, and she said, "That's a real compliment to me. He was one of my idols growing up," which is so amazing to hear. So Arsenal were definitely having a lot of success on the left in the first half. As a result, Emma Hayes made three changes, bringing on Ashley Lawrence, Buchanan and Fran Kirby. Kirby definitely was made to try and help Sam Kerr get more service, but she remained pretty isolated through the whole game, to be honest. Although what I would say is the second half was probably more equal between the two, but at this point the game was already, you know, a fair few goals. Now, I think I said this to my friend that I was with, to be fair, that if this was any other team, you would be like, it's done, it's over, we've won. But with Chelsea, you can never be too careful. I probably say the same for like Barcelona or something. They do have that mentality of just like, never say die. Sorry, I did not mean to steal that from the Matildas there, but there you go. But overall, I think Arsenal still looked pretty safe and comfortable, especially with Lotta Vubemoy. Just the overall back line was amazing. Ultimately, if the game wasn't already done though, in the 74th minute, it absolutely was. Alessio Russo scored another goal with a penalty this time. Now, I will admit that I think if we had VAR in the women's game, would it have been a penalty? Probably not. However, that is the way it goes sometimes, and I'm sure we can all agree that calls will go different teams' ways over the course of a season. I definitely think the VAR conversation is interesting to be having, if it should be brought into the WSL or not. But overall, I think Les getting two goals is also really important, because there's been lots of conversations about why isn't she scoring more goals, blah, blah, blah. And well, I don't think it's a big deal, because I think she's been doing a lot of other things, especially her off the ball work has been so important to Arsenal, and the way she's essentially the trigger to our high press, unvalued. Like, you cannot put a price on that, but I think to get those goals as well is great for her confidence. Not long after that, Lauren James was then taken off after being shown a yellow for a late tackle after the whistle that she made on Leah Valti. Of course, this is when she stepped on Leah's foot. Now, I do think she was probably lucky to get away with a yellow as opposed to a red, and I think Emma Hayes made the right call to bring her off. I've definitely seen some abuse messages. For me, it comes down to like dealing with frustration in the game. Obviously, that is a whole conversation in itself, but I think for now we'll just move on and focus on Arsenal. So Arsenal definitely continue to pose a threat, especially through Caitlin Ford and also Stina Blackstenius was brought on. And I also think I'm loving how stacked our bench is, the depth we're able to put on. Like, we're 4-1 up against Chelsea, and then we're like, oh, hang on, we've got some more attackers to come on. And they're not just any attackers. These are, like, world-class. They're international players. This is going to be a huge part of our title chase, this bench, and how Jonas is able to use it. Now, a quick look at the stats. The possession was actually very, very... It was 50-50, which I thought was quite interesting. I was maybe a little surprised, actually. I thought it may have been ever so slightly in Arsenal's favour. Arsenal had 7 shots on and Chelsea had 6, but of those that were on target, all of Chelsea's were, but only 4 of Arsenal's were. So interesting there. I think Manu Zinsberger had a good game. I really do. She was vocal. She was commanding in the box. There was lots of movement, all positives, although I wouldn't say they were like world-class saves, not through any fault of her own, just simply because they weren't world-class shots on target. However, I think she was very impressive, and you all know how much I love how connected she is with the fans. She was really encouraging the fans to get noisy, obviously, when the goals went in, and or even when they did score their one goal, she was still revving up the crowd to be like, come on, no, we can do this. So really enjoyed the whole performance from Manu. Ultimately, I think this game highlighted not just our players' skills and their ability to follow through the game plan and stick with it, but also just Jonas Eidevall's tactics and his understanding of our opposition. I think our high press is what led Emma Hayes to say that Chelsea were bullied, whereas in turn, I think you can see why Jonas said we turned 50-50s into 51-49s, which I thought was a really clever way to say it. As I suspected, I think if anyone's been watching my TikToks, I said that for me this game would be won in the midfield, if not very reliant on the midfield, as many of the Arsenal-Chelsea games have been in the last few seasons, and I was correct. I think Victoria Plovert as well, but I'm going to mainly focus on Leah Valti. She provided some key passes, especially relating to 2 of the goals, but overall I think her ball control and her ability to be defensive and attacking was just absolutely stunning. And then for Plova, all I'm going to say is there is press resistant and then there is Victoria Plova. Insane. I think she's probably one of the best signings we've had in quite some time, and that is saying something. I think at the minute our midfield is definitely one of the best in the WSL, if not Europe. I think the way we are moulding this team is brilliant. I also actually watched, I think it was with Optus, and Jen Beattie with Steph Catley was talking about Kyra Cooney-Cross and about how eager she is to learn and how Jen's been seeing her asking questions to Kim. And I think this idea of Victoria Plova and Kyra Cooney-Cross learning from Leah Valti and Kim Little while they're still able to play in big games and be available is so huge, because it means the transition, sadly when it comes, I know, it's going to be so much smoother. And I think, oh, it's just so exciting, isn't it? What I will say is also that our academy played Chelsea's academy on the same day. This is the women, of course. And Arsenal won 3-0 against them as well. So a stunning day for Arsenal's women's sides. The final player that I want to touch on specifically is Lotta. Obviously, she's probably in the form of her life right now. Having a really interesting season, and I think defending, especially against a team like Chelsea, is a team sport. Football is a team sport, obviously, but now Lotta has come up against Bunny Shaw, Rachel Daly and Sam Kerr so far this season, arguably 3 of the best in the world, certainly the WSL, and she's had a great game every single time. Sam Kerr kept very quiet, Rachel Daly kept fairly quiet, Bunny Shaw kept very quiet. Now, that is so impressive. And also to have that consistency, that's how you win titles. Obviously, I don't want to say like it's happening because I think it's too soon to say. Obviously, Chelsea's still a very impressive team. And we all know that after this loss, Emma Hayes is going to be whipping them into shape. But I do think that consistency is so, so important, especially in such a small league when everything is dependent on the small margins because there's just so few games. Now, talking of consistency, here's one for Jonas Eidevall. Following the game, the boss became just the second manager to not lose his first three home WSL matches against Emma Hayes. The only other person to have done that is former Manchester City boss. So, very, very impressive from him, and also it just makes me feel a lot better purely as an Arsenal fan. I think back to, let's just say, the glory days, I guess, of Arsenal in my lifetime anyway. They arguably did start before I was born, but like Chelsea didn't used to be a concern, and then let's say maybe like 2015, Chelsea became very, very impressive, and I do think Arsenal stepped off the gas a little bit. And I think that combination of things. So for Jonas to have come in and done this, so important. Now, as we all know, Emma Hayes' career kind of started at Arsenal with Vic Akers. She obviously used to be part of the academy team and then sadly had that injury and has gone on to have a very successful career. She's now heading off to the US job. So this means that's her last game ever as a Chelsea manager anyway, at the Emirates, which is just wild. Obviously, just such a solid constant in the WSL for many, but I have to say she made me chuckle in the post-match press conference. She was asked if there was any positive she could take, and she said there was only a 20-minute drive for her to get home. Yep, so brilliant from her. Of course, she's still based in North London. And actually, if I remember correctly, she in the past was asked in like a jokey manner if she felt Chelsea would ever make a statue for her. And she joked that probably not, because she still lives in North London. But the end of an era, and while not the way she would have wanted to end it, definitely the way we all wanted to end it. And it was impressive as well, because it truly was like a schooling. Like I think I saw Tim Stillman of Arseblog describe it as suffocating Chelsea. I think that's a great way to look at it. So now let's move on to a preview, just a quick one, of the Conti Cup, which is happening on Wednesday. If you're listening to this after the game, then skip ahead, because I'll be finishing up with a news roundup for Arsenal. But for now, Arsenal obviously finished 2023 with a double header against our North London rival Spurs. First up is the midweek Conti game at Meadow Park. The next is an away game at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Ew. And that is in the WSL. So, first things first, Conti Cup. Tottenham, like Arsenal, have two wins from two, but they have a better goal difference, so they currently sit top, which means that this game is going to be really, really vital in deciding who finishes top of this group. For this game, I'm definitely thinking Sabrina D'Angelo will come into goal. Lena Hurtig is still out with that injury that stopped her from playing against Chelsea. I also think this is going to be a good game for Viv Miedema. I definitely see her getting minutes. I also, a little birdie says she's also expecting to get minutes, so definitely going to be a good one to see. And as we know, Viv loves a goal against Spurs. I do think it's important that Arsenal win this, and Jonas will know this, but I think it could be a good opportunity to get some rotation going. Arsenal women have a pretty successful history against Spurs. Obviously, last time they met, it was a 5-1 win to Arsenal. Goals came from Stina Baxenius, Kim Little, Frida Leinartsen-Mornem, and Caitlin Ford had a brace. Prior to that, it was a 4-0 win to Arsenal at the Emirates. The goals came from Mead, Rafa, and Aviv Brace. So, fingers crossed to see something similar. For Spurs, obviously, they're boosted by the news that Beth England seems to be back. Martha Thomas, is formerly of Manchester United, is definitely settling in well. And I do definitely see her being a threat. But overall, I do think that Arsenal probably have the momentum going into this, and hopefully then that will obviously carry on into the weekend and end the year off in the right way. So I told you I'd be quick. Now let's move on to the news of Arsenal. So we are just being absolutely treated to content right now. Lee Williamson has a short kind of TV series documentary out on the BBC where she's learning to play the piano with an orchestra. As always, really insightful into how she deals with situations and her personality. Would definitely recommend watching. And then Viv and Beth have their documentary Step by Step coming out, dropping on the 18th of December, and it's going to come out each week, and it's all about their ACL journey, and also not just about a really personal insight to the causes of ACLs that they had, but also the impacts it has on them and their journeys back and everything like that. It's a very, very in-depth. I think everyone's going to love it, but it's also a bit emotional, so definitely get the tissues ready. Arsenal have now also been drawn into the FA Cup, as have all the other WSL teams. We've actually drawn Watford, which is hilarious because Watford's training ground is quite literally next door to Arsenal's. This is very much like a London Colney derby. The two teams share a postcode, and as you go into London Colney, you can see the Watford's like dome where the first team trains, so that's fun. But also, more interestingly, a lot of our academy players play for Watford. So it'll be interesting to see how they put their team out. Also, talking of Watford, Michelle Ajimang, who has already made her first team appearance, but is currently on loan at Watford. She's been back at Arsenal for a while with an injury, but she's now back playing for Watford, which is great to see from her. Talking of our academy team and the FA Cup, and Watford. Recently, 16-year-old Layla Harbour scored a hat-trick for Watford in the FA Cup to get them to this stage, so she's definitely in fine form. Looking at other injury news, obviously Kim Little came off, which Yona Seidevall actually spoke about her leadership in this manner, which I think was a really good point to make, how if you can't go 100%, you don't have to go 100%. Like 90%, sorry, because we have the bench now and she knows that she needs to prioritise her health and therefore the team as well to secure the win. So she's now had her scan and Jonas says that there's nothing serious there, but in terms of whether she'll play in either of the two games left of the year, it's not yet clear because they're going to monitor the situation and just see how she progresses. Now, finally, one to end on for me about the January transfer rumours and the whole situation there is, I think, take what you see with a pinch of salt unless they're from very reputable sources. They can be all sorts of sources. I'm not saying that, but just make sure you think about where they're coming from before you really run with something. For example, I put a TikTok video out a few days ago talking about Ellen Vangerheim, who is at Hammarby at the minute. She's a really, really exciting player. She's quite young. And I explicitly said in my video, does this mean? Because I was essentially saying, for those of that you don't follow me, she has been in the past said that she is very interested in Arsenal. You know, she said that it's a club she's interested in, etc. But and then a few days ago, because the Swedish league has finished now, she was in London and she actually went to the Emirates to watch the men's game, in the same way that, like, you know, lots of people have been to watch games this season. I explicitly said that I don't think it necessarily means something, but it's something to monitor more, because she said she has this interest, and in the past multiple clubs have used that opportunity when players go to watch games and they go to these things to talk with players, because you don't need the formal structures in place. In comparison, especially on Twitter, or X I should call it, there are people who are saying this is happening, this is already, it's like a done deal. And obviously that's too very, the wording here is very important. A lot has been said about Mary Earps going in January to Arsenal, and while we can't categorically rule that out, we've now had Emma Sandy, Tim Stillman, and I think Catherine Bate, multiple sources saying that this is not what they've heard, conversations are not going on at the minute. One thing I will say about the situation is that I believe Mary Earps has changed her agent recently, and there's also been, I think, a lot of people, you know, like, whether they're fans of other teams or something, there's a lot of like jokey ones where it's just clearly not going to happen. So at the minute, I think just hang tight, because I think what people are forgetting is that Arsenal and like the January transfer window, there is a squad limit that you any WSL team can have, and at the minute Arsenal are at that squad limit. So if we want people to come in, people are going to have to leave, and that's going to have to be very intentional, and you're going to have to think about where everyone's contracts are and how much money we could get for them. And also Jonas himself said before the window that, you know, it's likely to be quiet because they've had such a busy period already. So definitely, please take everything with a pinch of salt that you're seeing. Obviously, it's very exciting, the thoughts of, you know, having certain players come in and whatever. The other thing I would say is, obviously, everyone should have their opinion, and that's absolutely fair. But I think be careful with what you're saying, because when you're like, I want this person out of my club, like, women's football is a growing, bigger circle than it was in the past, but it's still fairly closed and small. So if you want to, you know, if you don't want to play a player for your club, that's fine. But I think please remember how you're wording things, and that there is a line between what you should and shouldn't say. And obviously, it's not really helping anyone if a player sees abusive things about them, and it's just not fair. That's all I'm going to say on that situation. If we do hear anything, I will of course let you all know. I wouldn't be surprised if there is some movement in January, but I think it will be very limited. I think the biggest thing is definitely Gio going out on loan. But as ever, for now, that is the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you next week. Bye everyone.